Check this out. All right, last time we got together, we was in Deuteronomy chapter 26. And so we're going to go ahead and throw those up on the screen, and I'll try to go over that, go through that with you, and then get into tonight's teaching. It shall be when thou art coming to the land. You're going into the land. You need to write that down. I'm going into the land. Say, what's the land? The land is the promise that God made to you. Don't forget the promises of God or you'll never get there. If you forget the destination, what God promised you, and I don't care how old it is, you can go ahead and dust it off if it were 20, 30 years ago. If you forget that promise, then you'll never get there. So go back and look at some things that the Lord promised you. That's why it's important to have a prayer journal. Not all your, you know, pizza dreams are worthy of writing down, but you know what I mean. Write down some things you feel the Lord's speaking to you, and if you feel like, you know, you don't have nothing the Lord spoke to you, well, you got a Bible full of stuff He's told you about. Amen? Many, many promises. So it shall be when thou art coming to the land, when the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwellest therein. I love it, but we got to go. Verse 2. That thou shalt take the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring into the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. So we're talking about the first fruits. If you missed last week, you need to go back and look over it again and again and again and let that get in your spirit, because it's very important that when you go into the land or the promises that God has given you, don't forget God. Don't forget God. Remember, when you give that first fruits, it's a part of remembrance. Remember that? It was a part of remembering what God did for you. That's why we do it on New Year's Eve. We give our first fruits. We call it the New Year's Eve service offering or whatever you want to call it. But we look back at what God did that year, and then we look forward. And that first fruit sanctifies the rest of the harvest. I hope you catch that in your spirit. It sanctifies it. Even when you tithe, watch this. God requires a tithe out of us, which is what? 10% of our sanctified gross income. Well, what does it do? That 10% sanctifies the 90. And so I can rest assured that my 90 is going to be blessed. I think that's a pretty good deal, don't you? I mean, what's the government getting now, 50? I mean, we're probably getting pretty close, 40, something like that. The dollar's lost its value. I think it's worth about a nickel or something. I can't remember. Somebody had it all figured out since they went off the gold standard. But you know, you get my point. Life is devaluing. Kingdom of God never does. God never loses his value. The word never loses value. And that's why I really want to teach on this right now, but I can't. That's why you have to have faith, which is the currency of heaven and earth. Okay. So first fruits is important. And thou shalt go unto the priest, and thou shalt be in those days, and say unto him, watch this, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, not your denomination, not your church, I came in here for God, that I am coming to the country which the Lord gave unto our fathers to give us. So let's go on. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand and set it before the altar of the Lord thy God. All right, so he's going to obey. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish. So we won't go into that part other than he recognizes, remember Jacob? He was treated evil through Laban. And then Israel went through all the hardships in Egypt. And so, again, this offering is a remembrance. And I remember, God, what you've done for me. I think if we really taught tithing and offering as a act of worship more than a payment to God, I think people would give more. At least they wouldn't be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you take up the offering. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just, you know, you hear the the chains breaking off the wallets and the purses. I really believe that. I believe if we looked at giving, because if we worship God and remember what he's done for us, I don't think we would be so grudging when we give. I'm not talking to this church. I'm talking to some other church. But you know what I'm talking about. We know people just like that. All right, so let's go on. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, afflicted us, and laid us hard bondage. You know, working's hard, isn't it? Getting what you got's hard. And when we cried unto the Lord our God, our fathers, the Lord heard our voice. He looked on our affliction and our labors and our oppression. Go on, the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a wimpy hand, a mighty outstretched arm. So when you give, again, that's a part of remembrance. Lord, you brought me through a 40-hour work week. Think of this way when you're giving. Lord, you got me through 60 hours or 3 days, whatever you do, or maybe you don't work, whatever it is, somehow you made it to giving the God day, right? And somehow you got blessed, and you should look at that and say, God, I thank you so much. You brought me through. You gave me divine health. You kept me from killing my boss. Miss Sarah, thank you for being honest back there. Jennifer's throwing stuff at me. Yeah, thank God I didn't take him out or take her out. You helped me. You strengthened me. And then you lay that in the offering. You say, Father, just thank you. I find this easy. But a lot of people can't see it that way. And I think preachers just teach so bad because they're like, you know, help us, we're going under. Oh, my God. I was at this place one time preaching. They took like, I don't know how many, 3 or 4 offerings. So they got what they needed for the meeting. I was like, my gosh, why don't you just beat them all and get it that way? Oh, well, you know, if you love, you don't have to do that. If you love, you just give. All right, let's go. Well, beating sounds good, though. And he hath brought us into this place and has given us this land. Again, flows with milk and honey. God, thank you. I'm in the land of milk and honey. Well, I live in a travel trailer. You live in the milk and honey compared to the rest of the world. You live in some good conditions compared to the rest of the world. Come on now. You may not have it all, but it doesn't matter. You got him. And see, that's this attitude. It still translates to where we live today. All right, I got to go. Is that it? Right there. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land. I thought you was asleep back there again. Which thou, O Lord, has given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and do what? Complain, murmur, and say how broke you are. Worship before the Lord thy God. Some of your blessings are robbed by your mouth. Give it, bless the Lord, and say thank you instead of putting it in and grab it back out with your mouth. Because you know what the Lord would say? Go back and go get that offering. That wasn't a free will offering. That wasn't love. You're all mad about it. Come on, church. I know it's not you. I'm just talking to somebody. Okay? And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God has given thee. It's good to be alive, isn't it? It's good to have clothes on, isn't it? Good to have shoes. Good to have a toothbrush if you use it. I mean, there's good things in life, right? Every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, and thou and thy Levite and the stranger that is among you. All right, so let's move on. When thou hast made an end of tithing, of all the tithes of thine increase. Okay, so we're not going to go into that. We're talking about the sabbatical. I explained about the tithing, certain seasons of tithing. And it applies to you and I today that we're to give. We're to give 10% of our sanctified gross income. All right, so let's move on. And thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, who shall say it? You. I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house. So without further belaboring the point, they were supposed to come to the priest, go to the altar of God and say, I have given the hallowed thing. In other words, what was separated for God, I had it there and I brought it here. In other words, watch this. Some people are sitting on God's tithe. Oh, let me try that again. Some people are sitting on the couch that tithe money went to. Some people watching the big screen at the house that tithe went to. Come on, some people watching Netflix because they paid the bill with the tithe money instead of giving it to God. Y'all ain't helping me. Some people drove up in the tithe. And Pastor, you like my new car? No. No, because I know what you did with your money. You took the hallowed thing that was marked for God and you put it into your own life and you believed the doctrine that told you God wants me blessed. Well, God wants you blessed, but not under Satan's principles. Satan's principles is a steal. Satan's principle is not to do the right thing. God's principle is to give as a cheerful giver. Boy, that was good, wasn't it? I should say that for Sunday. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning. There it is. I was mourning. I was in trouble. Does God know you have to pay your bills? Yep. That's why he only said 10%, not 55 or 65. Or you have, give me 90, son, and you get 10. He didn't do it that way. 10% is nothing. No, it's not. It's nothing. Not when you've learned how to discipline yourself. At first, it's hard. I agree. I have not eaten thereof in the morning, neither have I taken away out thereof of any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. So I told you that last time about getting given to dead churches, dead ministries, and dead things. You don't do it. You give to life. How do I know that I'm given to life? When souls are born again. When you see things that are happening around the kingdom of God. The church is expanding. God is doing things. On and on it goes. Okay. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people Israel. Well, why is he going to bless Israel? Why is he looking down? What is making God look? The obedience. The obedience makes God look. You want God to look down at you? Obey. You want him to look down at your home, your business, your life, the church, your pastor, your family? Obey and God will look down.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He said, I'll look down from my holy habitation from heaven and do what? Bless thy people Israel and the land which thou hast given us as thou swearest unto thy fathers. Okay? This day the Lord thy God hath commanded. What day? This day the Lord hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments, and thou shalt keep and do. All right? Yeah, half of your heart, right? All your heart. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God. So the next two verses is basically saying that you have made a promise to God, right? Now with man, it's usually a one-way street. But then he says, and you can see the next verse, that God begins to promise to them. So what does giving do? What does the first fruits do? What does the offerings do? What does obedience do? It opens the communication between you and God. Some people don't like to hear that. Because I think that's also a prosperity message. No, it's not. It's facts. There's something about when you give, you're talking about a God who doesn't need your money. Streets are gold. He doesn't need that. He needs your heart and your obedience, but he knows because of our fallen nature, we are greedy by nature. We are. We're hoarders by nature. We save by nature, not always for a good reason. So he teaches us the principle that if we're willing to give like he gave his son, then he would bless us and he would multiply us and he would make us more abundant in life. Not filthy rich and all that craziness, okay? So it's a powerful principle. We have to learn that. Okay, is that cool for a recap? All right. You know, I like going back because there's some nuggets there. I just kind of, you know, I find in the, it's kicking around and find it. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Now they got everybody mad about giving. Ooh. No. Hey, this house is a giving house, man. I have got no complaints, but I love teasing you. That's the fun part. Y'all can handle that, can't you? All right. Let me find my notes here. Let's get into Deuteronomy chapter 27. All right. Verse uno. See, you're going to get all kinds of lessons tonight. Uno. That's one. I like playing Uno too. All right. Verse one. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep some of the commandments which I command you this day. Oh, I got to get a better Bible. Keep all. Everybody say all. How much is all? All is all that all will ever be, right? Keep all the commandments I command you this day. All right. And it shall be on this day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. Now, this is interesting because God is talking to the children of Israel about building a memorial for him when they were surrounded by the Canaanites and otherites that had memorials themselves, and they were considered to be pagan. But God said, I don't want you to do it that way. I want you to do it my way, because I want it to be a everlasting reminder of who I am to you on this day. What I want you to see in your notes is that there are memorials in your life that you need to make to God for what he's done for you. Picture this, they were about to go into the promised land. They were about to receive the promises of God. And Moses says, I want you to do this under the command of the Lord as a remembrance of what he did for you. I think many times in our lives we fail again to get into the promises of God because we forget what he promised us. And we forget the progress we've made. And what happens is the devil gets us distracted by our failures, our delays, things we're dealing with, our struggles. And then he says, see, you're never going to make it into the promised land. That's when you pull out the memorial and say, let me tell you what God said. Now, our memorial is not stones. Our memorial is his word. And watch how this transforms into that. Okay? So over Jordan, the land, and thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord thy God, thy fathers have promised thee. So he says, I want you to take these stones, and now you're going to put the law on it, the promises. Basically, the blessings and the cursings. I wanted you to write that down in your notes, because when you read it, you think he's speaking of the laws and the Ten Commandments. He's not speaking of that. He's talking of the blessings and the cursings. Remember this. Revival and the blessings of God all swing open on the hinges of if. Revival and the blessings of God, they all swing open on the hinges of if. If you obey, if you pray, if you give, if, the Lord says, I'll respond, but you've got to do your part. Okay? And so let me just give you a little bit of historical background so you can have this picture with me. Here they are about to go into the promised land. He says, when you get over there, you're going to take these stones, and we'll talk more about the stones in a minute. And basically what they were going to do was whitewash them with lime. And when they whitewashed them with lime, they would become so bright that you could see them throughout the land, at least in that region. This is another interesting thing that the scholars had said about this, because they had found these in antiquity. They have found some Egyptian writings, and it was much the same. Remember, Moses came from where? From Egypt, exactly. So he had that skill. Some things, listen to this. God will take you out of Egypt, but there's some things about Egypt he'll leave in you. Bam! I could preach that all night long. In other words, I got saved, but there's some smart stuff on the street I know about. That doesn't mean I leave my brain. I check my brain. Some Christians, they check their brain out in the parking lot. Y'all need, that's a whole nother message, but you know it's the truth. They get saved, and then they go celestial. They're like Buzz Lightyear. I'm like, Earth to Stevenson, come down. Space control to Major Tom, land it. Buzz Lightyear. Y'all catch it later. It's Buzz Lightyear. And so what happens is we get disconnected, and God wants us to be rooted. He wants us to be grounded. And so they would take this, and they would make it whitewashed with lime. Then they would chisel in the blessings and the cursing, and then they would take a reddish type of paint, and they would highlight the lettering. Again, you could find this in museums today, where the letters would show up. So imagine these huge stones with the blessings and the cursings of God with a white background with the letters in red. You'll catch that. Got it. New Testament what? Written in red. Isn't that powerful? So how does that apply and transition for us? Very easy. Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart, that I would not sin against thee. Thy word is ever before me. Keeping the word of God always before us. Jesus said what? It is written. It is written. He just kept saying it is written. He lived by the word because he was the word. And so this is a powerful principle here of what God is establishing in their hearts. Isn't that cool? I love it. And so that they were about to do that. So let's go on. Verse 4. Therefore it shall be when you have gone over Jordan, you're going to go, that you shall set up these stones which I command thee this day in Mount Ebal, and shall plaster them with plaster. Okay, so you're going to lime them. You're going to get them real purdy. And there thou shalt build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any tool upon them. Woo. Now watch this. All right. Wow. Okay, I'm going to go get these stones, but I can't use a Dremel. I can't use a Sawzall. I can't use a chisel. I can't use iron. I can't use a DeWalt. No, I don't want you using any type of tool. Why? Because the tool would represent your craftsmanship and your skill. And God says there'll be no flesh glorying in my presence. Right over the field. You're like, whoa. No, I don't want your skill. You're going to do this out of the rawness of this. And the other understanding is, this is how raw my relationship with you. It's not religious. It doesn't have to be chiseled. I am who I am. I am the great I am. This is me. I come to you in the fullness of my raw love for you. And here's my blessings. And here's what happens. I'll be just as raw in my judgment to you. Do you see that with God? You see so much right here that's overlooked because, oh yeah, go get these stones and put them out. You know, and the preacher moves on. No, man, these are the very expressions of your God, of my Father, your Father, and his love for us. Jesus still is the Rock of Ages. Hey, man, that's awesome. And so he says, go do that, but I don't want you to chisel it. Now where do we find this at? Well, we find it in other places. In Exodus, he told Aaron not to do it to build the altar. He also told Solomon, don't build it when you build my house. Right? Did not want man's hands in his skill on it. In other words, watch this. For today's meaning, I don't want your religion muddying up my relationship with my people. I don't want your skilled preachers and your, you know, that are so, you know, so skillful at the Hebrew and the Greek, you know, that speak all kinds of mysteries and blah, blah, and you're just like, what did he say? He said, good morning. I mean, you know, you don't know what was said because it was said in Greek or whatever. And you're just like, oh, this guy's awesome. No, he's awesome. He's mighty. Make the Bible to where I can understand because I'm not smart like you, Mr. Smarty Pants. Anyways, that's the way I like to be ministered to, don't you? I want to understand. I don't want to go home and say, man, that guy was awesome, bro. What'd he say? I don't know. We're going to get the CD. No, I don't want that. I want you to say, man, my God is awesome. You know how much he loves me? Man, my God, his love is solid for me. He's solid for me. He made those promises so available. And I'll give you the scriptures later if anybody wants them from Exodus and 1 Kings. Okay. And thou shalt build the altar, Lord thy God, of whole stones. Don't go halfway. Don't give me some pebbles. Don't cut corners. God didn't cut corners with you. Why you cut corners with God? Whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings there unto the Lord thy God. So we're going to worship. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and thou shalt eat thereof, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. Now, I want you to see this. Notice the word, the peace offerings, is connected with the blessings and the cursings, bless and the altar, and the whole visible relationship with God. Remember, there wasn't the Lord Jesus in his flesh just yet. We know there was many many movements of his spirit, many movements of who he was, and so on and so forth. Don't have time to get into who Jesus was in the Old Testament. But this was the way God could show them his love. And it was rock solid, and it was visible. Did he change? So go home tonight and say, you know what? My God is rock solid with me, and his relationship with me is visible. So you know what? I'm going to do the same for him. I'm going to be rock solid, and my life is going to be visible of a great relationship with him. So there was peace in there. I love that. I need peace. How about you? And thou shalt write upon the stones the words of this law, so small that, no, very plainly. Your life, Paul says what? We're to be living epistles, read about by all men. We shouldn't be hiding in some lodge. Wink, wink, hint, hint. With the blinds closed and only certain people can come in, males only. Some people know what I'm talking about. We're to be a living epistle. So in other words, we're to make this word, the truth of the word of God, very plainly. Again, I don't understand why this is so hard, but people make church hard. And Moses and the priests and the Levites spake unto all Israel and said, take heed, guard yourself, and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. So notice the transition. He said, now you become the people of the Lord thy God. The transition of adoption was first done by God. The transition of acceptance was first done by God. How they can guarantee that continuous relationship is obedience. That's why you have to be careful. Well, yeah, I got saved 30 years ago, but I've been a stripper since. Come on, church. You know, I've been saved, blah, 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 but, you know, whatever. On and on it can go. And it's like, no, you have to have a current relationship with him. You have to have a current relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a whole nother story. All right. And thou shalt therefore obey, there it is, obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments. Notice how he attached the adoption, the inheritance, the whole family thing, I'm yours, you're mine, with what? Obeying. The commandments and the statutes which I command thee this day. All right, so let's go. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, thee shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. When you are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. I was there? No. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Okay. And the Levites shall speak unto all the people of Israel with a loud voice. So go back up to one more. Stop right there. This is really cool. So now you got to use your imagination. If I had finger paint, I'd paint for you. That would be very interesting. And I'd probably get an award for it. But I don't want to show off. So you got to use your imagination tonight. Let's look at this. So basically, they shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. So there were two mountains. Gerizim. And what was the other one? Ebal. Is that right? Gerizim was the mountain that was full of streams. It was full of beauty. It was picturesque. So imagine in your mind now, maybe Toccoa Falls or something, I don't know, wherever you might live, something very beautiful. And there, half of the tribe stood. Then Ebal represented desert. It was ugly looking. It was, you know, it was an inviting type of a mountaintop. And there he took the other six of the tribe of Israel and he put them right there. Then in the middle, he put the Levites in the valley. What was God doing? God was giving them a visual illustration and sermon of the blessings and the cursings. If you want to be blessed, you can have this. If you want to be cursed, you can have that. If you obey, you get this. If you disobey, you get that. It's the same exact principles today. If you obey, he blesses you. If you do the right thing, he honors you and blesses you. And who stands in the middle trying to bring you to the blessings? The Levites or the priesthood or the Lord Jesus himself. So in your mind, you see this amazing picture. So he has it split. Go to the next verse. And then on the curse, he has Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And you look at that and you say, what in the world, man? What did Reuben do so bad to be on the cursed side? Come on, we all been picked for volleyball or kickball when we were growing up, right? And we always, some of us got on a losing team. Or you knew the team members, you're like, oh gosh, I can't believe I'm on this team. You know? What did Reuben do so bad? Well, Reuben was the one that slept with Jacob's concubine. And I'll have to give you a scripture if you'd like to read it yourself, but it wasn't until later, towards the end of Jacob's death, did he bring it back up to Reuben. And it reminded him, oh, by the way, Reuben, you did wrong to me. You discovered my nakedness in my bed, and you took from me. And so he was put on that curse side. Let me ask you this. Do you think everybody in the Israel knew what Reuben did? They put him on the curse side. Oh my, it's Reuben. Godly, I just read about him. Right? I mean, if somebody did something bad in your family or whatever, everybody knows the black sheep of the family or green sheep, whatever you want to call them, right? Well, there was Reuben. So in case you wanted to know why Reuben got in trouble, that's what happened. All right? So you have those two mountains. You have the two perfect examples. Again, you know, when I look at this and I say, how elementary did God try to make it to be to show you the way of righteousness and salvation? Why do we allow theologians and so-called doctors of theology screw it all up and mess us up? Why do people try to go so deep that nobody understands? That ain't God. God is a good God. He loves you. He gives you blessings and he gives you cursings. You choose. It's pretty easy to me, man. I needed that because I'm not so smart. Watch this. Verse 14. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a soft, feminine voice. Oh, no. We don't want to holler at this church. No. You're just going to go to hell. No. What did he say? Loud voice. What is the Levite saying? Hey, I'm going to tell you the blessings and the cursings, and I'm going to holler them out. So we see two things. He made it plain, and he made it loud. So people get mad when you just preach too loud. What do you do when fire shut up in your bones? What do you do when you're trying to warn a nation and people that are dying and going to hell? You don't whisper to them. And not only that, watch this. What do you do when you have the love of God in your heart and the passion of Christ inside of you and he wants to express himself to a people? He uses a vessel and he says, here's how I feel about you. And let me tell you something. Jesus is passionate. Go look at the book of Revelation and see his eyes full of fire. That isn't a campfire. That's love. Desire for all to come to him and know him. And be born again. All right. So I like that part. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord. The work of the hands of the craftsman. There it is. And putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, amen. Let's go back to our imagination, finger painting. You have the two mounts, the mount of blessing, the mount of cursing, the Levites in the middle. The Levites would make that announcement of what I just said. And both sides of the camp would say, amen. Could you imagine what that was like? About 2 million people in this valley. And the way the scholars made it in understanding was this was like an amphitheater. The way the mountains were and the valley was. That would have been awesome. I remember in the military when we'd all get together, the whole base, and we'd sing, and you know, we'd do our cadence at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, whatever it was. It was an amazing sound. Or an amazing sound when a battery or platoon got together and, you know, they said, yes, drill sergeant, or whatever. I could imagine 2 million people. Amen. Oh, y'all aren't with me. That would be, but I try to get that on Sunday morning. Yeah, it would be loud. It'd be loud. But on church, it's amen. Amen, preacher. Do you know what amen means? It means so be it. It also implies be it unto me. So when they saw the blessings and the cursings, the visual, the loudness, the plain writing, they said, be it unto me. Do you know that when you say amen to the preacher, you're agreeing to what he's saying and it makes you obligated? That's why some of y'all go, ditto, bro, ditto. You know, no, when you say amen, it's not something that a preacher's looking for. It doesn't make me go longer, slower. It really doesn't affect me because I'm going to preach anyways. But watch it. He said amen. Unless Mike does it. But seriously, when you sit there and you make the mental acknowledgement and you go like this and you say amen, everything that's being taught and preached, you become obligated in a covenant type of way because you're agreeing with it. You're already obligated by hearing it. So come in with cotton balls or maybe earmuffs if you don't want to hear me. But it's even more confirming and more powerful when you say amen. But anyways, could you imagine that? Woo, that would be, what a sermon. Cursed be he that setteth light of the father and of his mother, and the people shall say amen. That word setteth light is really hard in the King James. It just means don't dishonor your mom and dad. Setteth light. It's kind of a, you know, I like it this way. Don't you light your mom and daddy on fire because they'll light you on fire. That's a Ben Faircloth translation, and I have scars to prove it. Cursed. Mike knows what I'm talking. Cursed be the man that removeth his neighbor's landmark. Yeah, I have to say this real quick. How much time do I have? Give me 5 more minutes, Miss Sarah. I know you got to get a. That's right. She was late. Everybody said, amen. There we go. I had finished my studies, right? And I was doing my research for the rest of the week and what have you. And I look in this, I think it was Maine or somewhere. Somebody will correct me. They had a land dispute with the neighbor. So the guy went over there and cut his garage in half. Did you see that was in Maine? And I went to the scripture and I said, oh my gosh, leave his landmark alone. I mean, could you imagine that? Just, okay, I'm happy now. Wow. So don't do that, okay? Don't do that. Get the law. You ought to see this probate judge we met. All right, cursed be he that maketh, Sergeant Slaughter, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and the people say amen. Can you believe God had to put that in there? Let's be serious for a minute. Quit being so holy for a second. Quit being so King James-ish. God, they must have been doing some stuff way back then that God had to say, don't mess with the blind. Dude, I'm over here. Psst. Psst. Come here, Jehu. Wow, can you imagine that? But anyways, you know what that tells me? Everybody is the same throughout history. Practical jokes or whatever, but this was serious. This was serious because they were doing bad things. So let's go on. And cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fathers, and the widow, and all the people said, amen. I'm not going to do it. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife because he uncovered his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, amen. And cursed be he that liveth with any manner with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say amen and amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that liveth with his mother. Oh, liveth. I thought I said, cursed the man that lives with his mother-in-law. I was like, whoa. Let's read that again. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and shall be. Everybody said amen. All right, let's move quickly past that one. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say amen. What was that about? That's gossip. Hurting your folks, hurting your friends. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. All the people shall say that no more hitmen, no more mafia. Cursed be he that committeth, that confirmeth not all his words of the law to do them. See, he gets them right here. And all the people shall say, amen. Is that it? That's it. Oh, man. That's it. It's over. Oh, no. That means we got to go home. So in closing, Deuteronomy 27, you look at this and you say, he's a practical God. He's a practical God. He's not a prune and a shrewd and all this stuff we've heard about God in the Old Testament. He's awesome. He's an awesome father. He just wanted to have a code of ethics that made people live right. And he offered them blessings and cursings. You know what? He could have just been mad and just offered cursings only. We're going to see the blessings here in a little while in our teaching. But you know, he's a good God. He's an awesome God. Father, we love you. Thank you for this opportunity to speak these truths tonight. We just ask that we would be able to live the passion that you have for us. It's a tremendous passion. It's beyond words how you could ever love a sinner like us. But you do. And we're so grateful. Bless us in the rest of our week and everybody that we are praying for. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Everybody, I'll see you Sunday. Be blessed.